Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ that we're saved. It's by grace through faith in Jesus that we live this Christian life. I love that passage in Ephesians, and it's very clear that the writer, that Paul does not say it is by grace through law.
Yeah.
Faith and law are kind of opposed to one another.
Yeah.
And we're going to read a passage today that I think really gives us a clue as to why that is. It's in Romans chapter 10. Paul asks this, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And then he says this statement, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So here Paul links faith to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Law is on our shoulders. It's on our ability to live up to those standards, to live out those rules and regulations. And then when we have done, we will earn our wage. The problem is we can't live up to those rules and regulations. That's why God sent Jesus, so that he could do that for us and so that our faith and trust could be fully in him. So faith is tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ, and faith comes from hearing the message about Jesus. There are so many people out there, guys, that you can tell the gospel, you can deliver the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and then once they hear that, they will say, well, what am I supposed to do? What are the 10 things that I need to do? Well, they've turned the message away from Christ back onto themselves. That's why the message is of no value to them, because they're not combining what they're hearing about Jesus with faith in Jesus. Yeah. They're still looking at it as something that they need to do in order to earn God's good favor and acceptance.
Yeah.
Well, that's not faith. And sadly, I think that's where many believers are today. Many people sitting in church pews are today. They've never genuinely exercised faith in the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Have you found that to be true in your outreach, Andrew, and all the people that you've come across in your gallivantings around the country?
He does some of that.
He does.
Yeah.
Yes, I do a lot of grace gallivanting. And yeah, you know, what we're talking about today reminds me of Galatians 3:12. It says the law is not of faith. And, you know, there's been these two competing systems, so to speak, for thousands of years, guys. I mean, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, there's always been law and faith. And when the law came in at Moses, faith was already there. I mean, faith, you know, Abraham, 430 years before Moses, Abraham had faith in God and he was declared righteous. And then here comes the law 400 plus years later. And so then we've got these two competing systems, and they're still competing today for people's attention. And I think what we're describing here is how, you know, you can start by one system called faith, and then you get distracted and you end up adopting the other system called law. And Galatians 3:12, I love this passage because it doesn't allow us to wiggle out. I mean, it says the law is not of faith. It doesn't take any faith for me to try my best to adhere to 10 things or 500 things or whatever it might be. I could use human effort to try to jump through those hoops, and it wouldn't involve any faith, zero faith. The law is not of faith. But we're under a faith system. And, you know, when we're Christians, we die to the law and we live in this new faith system. And we got to get used to that and realize that the law is not of faith.
Yeah. And that is so vitally important. That's why I keep going back to that passage in Ephesians. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. There is no law mentioned in that, but we tend, I think our normal human tendency is to lean toward law. That's in our old DNA. But we've, you know, that's been put aside. We're new creatures in Christ, and this newness of life that we've been called to is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. It's always a by grace through faith in Jesus proposition. That is the way of salvation. That is the way of the Christian life. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
Indeed. You know, I think so many of us gravitate towards self-effort to try to please God and to live up to his righteous standards. Bob, I like what you said in your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that we're all natural-born legalists, and we were talking about that yesterday. We try to live for God, but it's impossible to do, because all of our efforts and ideas are based on the same fear-based, guilt-driven plot line, just try harder. And as you probably noticed in your own life, as I did in mine, it just doesn't work. So through Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you'll discover that everything you're trying to achieve in the Christian life has already been given to you from God by grace in Jesus Christ. You'll see a crystal clear portrayal of the simple gospel, which is simply grace. You can get your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace simply by going to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com, special website produced just for this particular publication. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Right now, plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. As I said earlier, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hi, thank you. I'm sorry I'm first again. It's a wonderful subject, and today I want to bring up, and I think it segues into everything you guys have talked about so far, and that is Romans 12:3, where we're encouraged not to think more highly of ourselves because God has given each one of us a measure of faith. And my question is that measure of faith given to us so that we can respond to the gospel? And if it is, can you kind of go through that dynamic for people that may be confused on, you know, how God causes us to be born again? And I'll get off the radio, let somebody else get into the phone call.
Okay, Brad, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. It's kind of an interesting question, guys, and I think it really leads us back to how this thing works. And I think we have to distinguish the players kind of in the scenario. There's God, and God is always the initiator. So he initiates grace to us. Then we're involved in that, and we have the opportunity to respond by faith. But we're not going to respond to God in faith apart from his initiation of grace to us. So God is the initiator. We are the responders, and faith is that response that we have in the human heart, isn't it? It was a response to the grace of God that we've received in Jesus.
Yeah. I think where we could go off the rails here is when we, you know, buy this idea that, well, you know, some people have been given faith to believe, and then other people haven't been given faith to believe. And there's basically a set of doctrines out there that say, you know, the whole world is incapable of responding to the gospel, and so then God activates some people but not other people. He enables some people but not other people, and that sort of thing. And, you know, if Brad's question is going down that road in terms of asking about that sort of thing, my thought there would be to say, you know, the gospel is for the whosoever wills. The gospel is that God desires none to perish, but all to believe. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of magic or a lot of hoops to jump through or a lot of effort to respond to the gospel. You know, as our as our catchphrase says for this ministry, you hear it, and then you believe it, and then you live it. And it's not that God makes you believe it. He doesn't force anyone into believing it. It's the whosoever wills. But there is a life that goes on after we believe. I mean, after we're born again, the life of faith is just beginning. And so I think this passage in Romans 12, where, you know, God has given to each of us, it doesn't say some of us, but each of us, and I think it's talking about believers here, he's basically saying he's equipped us for a life of faith. I wouldn't overanalyze it, read too much into it. It's pretty clear that the whole world has had the gospel extended to them as an offer, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved.
Yes, indeed. And I think it's important, too, to note that the whole point of Paul's discussion here is not to think more highly of yourself than you ought. Well, it's our faith in Jesus Christ that allows us to not have that attitude, to move away from that attitude. You know, we were saved by grace. We didn't bring anything to the table. God reached down and saved us. And so we're not that big of a deal. So we can put our egos on the shelf, and we can just love people, and we can receive love from other people. And I think that's what this is all about. So our faith allows us to think soberly and to see things very clearly, and then to treat others accordingly. So I think that's what this is all about. Well, Brad, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Clyde listening to us on The Word. Hi, Clyde.
Hi, Clyde. Howdy. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Thank you.
Okay. My question is this, and I'm of like mind with y'all. You cannot earn your way into heaven. Grace comes through Jesus. He is the life, the path, and the way. But in Matthew, Jesus says, there are those of you that think that I came to abolish the law. And that is not true. I am the perfection of the law. Not one pen stroke will fall away from the law until heaven and earth transpire. So that always was perplexing to me. And perhaps you can expound upon it and explain where I'm missing the boat that the law still does not apply.
Hmm. Yeah, well, Clyde, first of all, we would never teach that the law is dead, buried, and gone. It's not dead. It's just that Christians are dead to the law. So there's a very big difference there. In other words, when we get an accurate teaching on the law, we don't run away thinking that the law is gone. Jesus said the law is not gone until heaven and earth disappear. So the law still serves a purpose. It can still serve a function in the life of an unbeliever. The Bible says the law is good if we use it properly, knowing that the law is not made for the righteous man. So the law is not dead or gone, but Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, and he fulfilled the law in us so that we don't have to try to fulfill it. So in short, I think we could say the law is not dead, but Christians are dead to the law. Romans 7 says we died to the law so that we might be joined to Christ, to the risen Christ. And so he serves our purposes now. I mean, we live from him, and we depend on him, and he does things in us that the law could never do anyway. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I still, you know, I like to study the Bible front to end. You know, it's always fulfilling to me and encourages me. And so, but again, I don't want to use the word wasting my time. I know there are better areas to be focused on, but I still think there are jewels of knowledge to be perceived from reflecting upon it.
Yeah, so exactly. I mean, the Bible says that all Scripture is inspired and useful for teaching, and that would include the law, that would include the Old Testament. But the question is, what are you going to teach about it, and how are you going to keep it in context? And so, you know, we could look at the law as a shadow, and we could study it as a shadow of things that were to come. That's what the Bible reveals. As the Bible comes to a conclusion through the New Testament, we figure out there's a surprise ending there. And the surprise ending is that we're dead to the law. We're not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for those who believe. But the law, it was a shadow, and it functioned as a shadow or a symbol of what was to come. So, you know, if we go back and we're studying the book of Leviticus, well, sure, that's God's inspired word. But let's keep it in context. What I like to say is, let's put our grace glasses on. When we look at the Old Testament, let's have our new covenant lenses on, and then everything will line up and make sense.
Right. Well, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Keep up your good work. God bless you all. Take care.
Thanks, Clyde. Thanks for your call today.
844-322-2742. Plenty of time and plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley. My name is Bob Davis. And as always, thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to really join us and pose a question or a topic of discussion right now at 844-322-2742. And guys, for the listeners who may just be joining us, I will reiterate what we were talking about a little bit earlier, in that we are all natural-born legalists, according to Bob Christopher in his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We just try to live for God, but it's just impossible to do, because all of our efforts and our ideas are based on the same fear-based, guilt-driven plotline: try harder, do better. And as you probably noticed, it just doesn't work. So through Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you're going to discover that everything you're trying to achieve in the Christian life has already been given to you from God by grace in Jesus Christ. You'll see a crystal clear portrayal of the simple gospel, which is simply grace. And you can get your copy today at simplegospelsimplygrace.com, a special website that's been produced and posted for you to obtain one or more, multiple copies of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we encourage you to do that. I think it was Tim Roller who said buy them in bulk, and I think that's a good idea. Simplegospelsimplygrace.com, and you can get your copy right there today.
Yeah, and we have a special price for the ebook version, $1.99,
yeah,
in honor of its 1 year anniversary. So take advantage of that special price, $1.99, mm-hmm, for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Yeah. Well, a question from Jerome, who writes to us from Huntsville, Alabama. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Most of the time, this is said to mean to pray in tongues. If this is correct, then is there a difference between speaking in tongues and praying in tongues?
Hmm. Yeah, I think that can be really misleading, because the idea then is that we're not always in the Spirit, and that, you know, if we perform some sort of special type of praying, then suddenly we're in the Spirit. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. It says that salvation is being transferred out of being in the flesh. We don't get life from the flesh anymore, because we are in the Spirit. So we go from being in Adam to being in Christ. We go from being in the flesh to being in the Spirit. And that's our new spiritual location. And that would be, you know, no matter what. So I think that when the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit, it could very well be talking about singing in the Spirit, or honoring other people in the Spirit, or encouraging other people in the Spirit. These sort of things, we do them every day in the Spirit as we depend on Christ in us. So guys, you know, I think when we start trying to categorize and promote a certain type of prayer, oh, it's got to be this way, it's got to be in this language, it's got to look like this, and then it'll be in the Spirit, well, we're neglecting a greater truth. And the truth is that we're always in the Spirit if we're in Christ.
Yeah, and certainly our prayers are going to reflect that. And with praying in the Spirit, we're being controlled by the Spirit. I mean, and the Spirit is doing a work in us, and that work is to teach us truth. And so our prayers are going to be reflected of the truth that we're learning from our teacher, the Holy Spirit. And we're also going to be praying and based on love, because the Spirit of God is going to be teaching the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God that is in Christ. So our prayers are going to reflect what the Holy Spirit is working in inside of us, truth and love. And that's good stuff. I love what James said. It said, you have not because you ask not, and then when you ask, it's to spend it on your own pleasures. Well, that's not a prayer of the Spirit. That's a prayer based on fleshly desires. So I think it's pretty clear. I think the Spirit makes it pretty clear what his desires are, and it's pretty clear to us what fleshly desires are. Yeah. And so we don't have to really worry about that. But, you know, I think the very nature of what we pray for because we're believers in Christ changes. I mean, as a lost person, think about what you used to pray for. And now, because you're saved, because you're in Christ, because you're in the Spirit, think about what you pray for now. I guarantee you, most of what you utter to God is done so in this incredible heart of thankfulness for all that He's given you in Christ Jesus. It's a huge difference, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me of ask anything according to my will or ask anything in Jesus' name, and people, they misinterpret that and misunderstand that, and they start thinking, well, God, give me a mansion in Jesus' name, and give me a Lamborghini in the name of the Lord, and according to your will, Lord, and all that. And we could say that till we're blue in the face, but that's not praying in the Spirit. That's not praying from the Spirit, and that's not actually in Jesus' name. That would be in the name of the flesh. So, you know, what you're saying is so helpful in terms of discernment and really interpreting these passages that have been wildly misused. What God is saying is if your heart is aligned with my heart, and if you're asking for what my heart knows is best for you anyway, then my goodness, of course I'm going to give you what's on my heart to give you anyway. And that would be things like Paul prayed, you know, show us your love, show us the depths of the love of Christ, and show us the secret of contentment in all circumstances. That's what's on the heart of God. That's what praying in Jesus' name, praying in the Spirit is all about.
Yes, indeed.
Question from Eddie, who has the passage 1 John 3:9. He says that says, no one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What does this mean? What does it mean to practice sin? It says, if his seed abides in us, we cannot sin. I think the answer is that we're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But can you elaborate, please? That's from Eddie in Maryland.
Interesting question, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, it is. This one used to be a puzzler to me because, you know, I knew I was born of God, and yet I kept doing wrong things from time to time. And it finally dawned on me that what is the nature of sin? The core issue of sin is unbelief. And when I became a child of God, I had passed from unbelief to belief, and there's no going back. Mm-hmm. And so that particular sin is done. I'm never going to be guilty of it again. There are days when I don't walk by faith and things happen that shouldn't happen. But fundamentally, I am a believer in Jesus Christ now, and that's where I'm going to stay.
Yeah, so you are growing in a lifestyle
of
faith.
Yes.
That's this newness of life that you're in, and that's the result of the work of God's Spirit in you. And that's what John says, because God's Spirit is in you. It remains in you. It abides in you. He lives in you. And so he's cultivating this whole new way, and it's an absolute joy to experience. So good question.
Friends, I want to remind you there are a couple of really good ways to contact this ministry if you'd like to pose a question, but you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live. You can simply go to basicgospel.net, and under the radio ministry, or menu, I should say, you'll find a drop-down that says send a voice message, and we would encourage you to record a message for us. We'll be glad to play it on the air if you're succinct and clear, and we would love for you to do that, and we'll be glad to address it on Basic Gospel. Well, as we've said, we're all natural-born legalists. We try to live for God, but it's impossible to do because of all of our efforts and ideas are based on the same fear-based, guilt-driven plotline. Try harder, do better. And as you've probably noticed, it just doesn't work. Through Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you'll discover that everything you're trying to do to achieve and achieve in the Christian life has already been given to you from God by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see a crystal clear portrayal of the simple gospel, which, of course, is simply grace. For your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, simply go to simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Again, that's the website produced for this particular publication, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Glad you're with us today, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for Basic Gospel.